Welcome to episode 58 of the Fredcast and stage 2 of the 2007 Amgen Tour of California. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. On today's report from the 2007 Amgen Tour of California, an update on Nick Gates and his status in the race, an interview with a fan who has a purpose for being here, Stage 2 is seen from the Mavic Neutral Technical Support Car, an interview with one of the Mavic drivers and techs, and Stage 2 results. So as we come to you live or almost live from Sacramento, California, I invite you to sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike hammer, just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Fredcast is brought to you by Cambria Bicycle Outfitter, providing quality products and unparalleled customer service to the cycling community for over 20 years. And here's another reason to shop at Cambria. Use the promo code found in tonight's show notes at www.thefredcast.com for 20% off your entire order at Cambria Bike. Cambria Bicycle Outfitter, they outfit the world. Welcome back to another episode of the Fredcast, and just a program note, if you haven't heard my report from Stage 1, go back and listen to that before you start listening to this episode of the Fredcast. This will make so much more sense, and you'll get the full experience of joining me as I attend the 2007 Amgen Tour of California. Now, before I go any further, I owe a big shout out and a huge thank you to a couple of people who have really helped me out here at the Amgen Tour of California and who just continue to give of their time and resources to me as I go out and cover this race. So I just want to say thank you and a couple of shout outs to just a couple of people here. So bear with me because they are very important to this coverage. The first person that deserves a huge thank you, and I told him today in the car that thank you, just there's not enough meaning in those words to tell him how much I appreciate what he's done for me this week, and that's Chuck Hodge, the technical director of the Amgen Tour of California, who you met on yesterday's show. Chuck has a monumental task before him, and he handles it with a smile and with grace, and he just seems relaxed, even though I know inside he's got to be stressed. Anyway, a huge thank you to Chuck for everything that he's done for me and for you. So thanks a lot, Chuck. Next person I'd like to thank is Lewis Runyon. Now, Lewis's job here is to run the award ceremonies at the end of every stage. I call him the keeper of the golden jersey because he's got a trunk load full of jerseys to make sure that they get passed out to the appropriate parties up on the stage. And Lewis has driven me to the stage every day so far, and I want to say a thank you to him because he doesn't need to do these things. He's just a heck of a nice guy, and I appreciate his help. Lastly, at least for now, I want to thank Christy Berry. Now, Christy's here helping out with hospitality, and Christy has been amazing in trying to help me find people to interview, and she'll call me on the cell phone and say, David, you've got to come over here and talk to this person or that person. And so a huge thank you to Christy as well. I know that by the end of the week, this list is going to get longer, so I didn't want to delay in thanking these three people because they've been so nice in helping me get the coverage that you've been enjoying so far this week. So thanks a lot to Chuck, to Lewis, and to Christy. Now, let's get to the coverage of today's race. You recall that yesterday when we left off on the Fredcast, we were wondering what the status of rider Nicholas Gates was going to be, and of course he's from the Predictor Lotto team. Nick was involved in that very horrific crash at the end of Stage 1 in Santa Rosa, California yesterday, and I've got some pictures on the website that you should check out. He's the one who I have the most pictures of, because he's the one that they called the ambulance for at the end of the race. But Nick did not get into the ambulance. Instead, he strapped his helmet back on, he grimaced, he got on his bike, and he finished the stage. And he got a huge round of applause for it. Now, when we had the press conference yesterday afternoon, the medical director of the Amgen Tour of California wasn't sure what the results of Nick's tests were going to be. I happened to be walking around the team area this morning, and I saw Nick standing there in his team kit, and I wondered whether or not he was going to ride. Now, this was just a short time before the race was supposed to begin, and he did not have a lot of time to talk to me. He told me that he was going to ride, and so I wanted to know from him exactly how he was feeling after yesterday's crash and what his plans were for today. He had very little time, so it's a short interview, but here's my interview with Nick Gates from this morning in Santa Rosa, California. So I was really impressed yesterday after the crash, watching you get back up, get on your bike, and finish the stage. Just tell me real quick, how were you feeling?
I wasn't feeling real good, but when the adrenaline kicks in, I wanted to finish and see how I'd be this morning, and I'm a little stiff and sore, but we'll see how we go.
What do the doctors have to say?
I went and had a CT scan yesterday of my, all my internal organs and my neck and everything looks okay. Could have a slight fracture in the bottom rib, but it's okay. And I've got a contusion on the coccyx, but it's all right. It's all okay. It's just stiff and sore. The rib will be hard when I'm breathing, but the rest we'll have to see.
Sure, but like a true professional, you're starting today.
Yeah, I'll have a start, see how I go.
Okay, good luck today.
No worries, thanks.
Thank you so much. Well, I don't know about you, but how would you like to ride your bike with a bruised coccyx, like he said? Look up where that is if you don't know, and tell me whether or not you'd like to ride 116 miles up some pretty torturous climbs as he did today. And I've had broken ribs before, and I can't imagine riding on a bike and having to breathe the way you've got to breathe to do a race like this. Nevertheless, Nick did do the race today, and he did finish. So congratulations to him, a true competitor, a true sportsman. And he was a real gentleman this morning. I appreciated getting the interview from him. Now, one thing that I think you're going to hear from me a lot this week is about the number of fans that are out on the race course. And one of the things that strikes me as I drive in the caravan is the diversity of the crowd. I mentioned yesterday that I saw a lot of cyclists, a lot of hardcore cyclists out there on the course. And that's to be expected. Maybe not the number. I think I was overwhelmed by that. But it's to be expected that cyclists are cycling fans. But then I'm blown away by the diversity of the rest of the crowd. Young, old, from every background you can imagine, every race and ethnicity, they're all here. And of course, you've got your little different ones as well. I saw somebody dressed up, an adult, by the way, as Winnie the Pooh today. I saw somebody dressed as a frog. Of course, there's the specialized angel blowing kisses to all the competitors as they reach the top of the hardest climb. Reynolds has a young lady here who is wearing leather chaps and a red top and a cowboy hat, and she's got a leather vest, and she's carrying a whip. I have no idea what that has to do with Reynolds, but she pops up, and it seems like you'll see her at one point in the stage, and then you'll go 20 miles down the road, and there she is again, and it's the same woman. So there's a real wide spectrum of people that are watching the race. Matter of fact, today, I recall we were driving through some farmland, and some of the farm workers had stopped what they were doing, and they were at the side of the road, and they too were cheering along the competitors as they went by. And one of the things that I wanted to do while I was here was to try to bring you a couple of fan stories. And I met a woman today and her daughter, and they told me their story, and I found it heartwarming. And so I did a little interview so that you could just get a sense of some of the folks that are here. And I found them in the team area. They were anxious to possibly see Levi and the rest of the Discovery Channel team. Of course, as were about 200 other people gathered around the bus, although they weren't gathered by the bus. And so we had a few quiet moments, and they agreed to go on mic with me. And I hope that you enjoy the interview. It's day two, stage two of the Tour of California. I'm talking to Dorothy Loinger, who is a fan from the suburbs of Chicago. And Dorothy, tell me a little bit about why you're here.
I'm here. My husband and I were supposed to take this trip together. We came out on the Amtrak. But my husband passed away in June, so I came with one of my younger daughters. We're staying with my older daughter, Colleen Hoagland, in Santa Rosa. And we came to see the tour because my husband and I have been fans of Tour de France and any tour for over 20 years. And we just came out to see the riders. And we're so excited that this is in California and we can come out to see this, actually see it, and see some of the riders in person. And I'm going to get some autographs today.
And she says that she's holding a golden jersey of the Tour of California, and I think you're not going to have a problem. Tell me, is this the first stage race you've been to?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
But you and your husband have been fans. Were fans for a very long time.
Oh, over 20 years. My husband was even before I met him, and our son's back in Naperville, Warrenville, they're all big, big fans, and they're all rooting this on for Mom. Bring home all the souvenirs, the autographs, everything. And I think I'm going to bring some of them back next year if it's here.
That's great. And tell me a little bit about your husband, because he sounds like he was a great fan.
My husband was a bike rider. He rode with the Oak Park Bike Club. He also joined the Huntley Bike Club recently. He would go on 200 and more miles. He's been taking the boys and all their friends on bike rides, weekend bike rides, for over 20 years, maybe 30. And he just loved biking. He thought it was great. And he's the one that got me interested in the Tour de France and this whole biking thing.
And who do you hope to, whose autographs do you hope to have on that jersey by the end of the week?
Okay, well, my biggest one is George Hencappy. And then after that, any of the Discovery, I'll take anybody's, but mostly Discovery. Levi Leifheimer, welcome to Discovery. Ivan Basel, welcome to Discovery. All the Discovery people, we're just backing them 110%.
That is great. And why Discovery, just out of curiosity?
Because they're our team. And, of course, we were big Armstrong fans, but it was just because they're our team, and I believe that we should support our teams. Not that we don't have U.S. riders on other teams, and we do support them, but Discovery is our team.
Sure. And tell me a little bit, you mentioned Lance Armstrong, and a little bit about him and how his message of what he's doing today is sort of affects all of us.
I think it's a wonderful thing that he did, and that he could survive cancer and come back and be such a role model for our young people. And my husband also he passed on from cancer, but he is such a supporter. Lance Armstrong is such a huge idol for everybody, let's face it. And what he's doing for the cause is just wonderful, and I would back him as much as I possibly can. And so does all of our family.
So as a fan, any predictions for this week?
Well, we were hoping Levi'd win last year because it was his town, you know, this year like he did last year, I'm sorry. But I'm always there rooting for Discovery, you know. Let's hope that they do it.
Excellent. Dorothy, enjoy the race. Thank you for talking to us.
Well, thank you very much, and you have a good day. It was nice talking to you.
Thank you. Well, I really enjoyed meeting Dorothy, and I love the fact that not only is she a fan, but she's here in memory of her late husband who died of cancer. And so we wish her and her family all the best. And I hope that the results of this year's Amgen Tour of California are exactly what you were hoping for. Thanks, Dorothy. Well, let's get down to talking about today's stage. Today's stage 2 started in Santa Rosa, California this morning at 10 a.m. and headed out on the roads on the way to Sacramento. Along the way, the riders encountered a very difficult Category 2 climb at Trinity Grade, and that started at 16.6 miles into the race. Following that, there was another climb at 52.6 miles into the race, and that's the Highway 128 climb, a Category 4. After that, there were two sprints, one in Winters, California, another in Davis, California, well known as perhaps one of the country's most bicycle-friendly cities, and by the way, it seemed like the entire town of Davis was out there on the course. And then following with three circuit laps in the city of Sacramento, and those laps circled the California state capitol before ending in front of a humongous crowd. And there could have been 100,000 people for all I know, but it was an amazing crowd, finished right there in front of the Golden Dome of the California state capitol here in Sacramento. It was another picture postcard day as we headed out from Santa Rosa this morning at 10 a.m. and headed up into the wine country through the Napa Valley and then on into the Sacramento area. Very early in the race, Discovery attacked and led a break, and that break was sustained for the majority of the race today, the majority of the 116 miles, by three riders: Crédit Agricole's Christophe Laurent, Priority Health's Omer Kem, and Colavita Sutterhome's David McCann. Now, this break was out in front for the majority of the race, almost all of the 116 miles of the stage, and they were finally caught just shortly before we headed on into Sacramento for the circuit race, all three men winning time bonuses and some King of the Mountains points to go along with the fact that they were out there leading the peloton for all of that time. To go along with these difficult climbs. There were also some steep descents with some very switchbacky curves. It was a roller coaster out there in the caravan, and it was even worse for the riders. We came upon one rider almost as soon as he went down, and this was Quick Steps Leonardo Scarzelli. And when we came upon him, it seemed to me that it was fairly obvious that he wasn't going to be getting back into the race anytime soon. The doctor was standing over him, asking him to please let him know what his name was and to tell the doctor if he knew where he was. And while his bike was relatively quickly repaired, he was not. And unfortunately, he's been forced to retire from this year's Tour of California. The other bad crash that happened, and probably the most emotional of the day, was when Sacramento's own Michael Sayers went down just short of beginning the circuit race in Sacramento. Now, Michael Sayers is a Sacramento local. He's currently racing for BMC. He's a veteran rider. He has been a domestique for a very large portion of his career, but he definitely had his sights set on a really good showing as we went into Sacramento today. Much like Levi Leipheimer as we went into Santa Rosa, Michael Sayers was hoping that this was going to be a swan song for him and be able to come in and show the hometown crowd what he can do. Unfortunately, we watched him from our vantage point in the Mavic neutral technical support vehicle. I watched him go over the median and into a pole, and we came upon him and he was definitely hurt. His bike was quickly repaired, and he was able to get back on it, and he was able to finish the race. At the post-race press conference, it was an emotional press conference for Michael, and this is just a little bit of what he had to say.
This was a tough day for me. It's a big deal, and I just want to thank Sacramento for having the race here. It means I've been a pro for 13 years, and as much as I wanted to win today, it would have been difficult for me, but I want to extend a thanks to everybody and say it's a great day for me and for bike racing. I was working for the team and took a little bit of a risk. Most of you know me, know that I'm kind of a blue-collar bike rider, so sometimes I got to take a few risks to keep myself up there, and I'm pretty good at it, but today maybe I get a little overzealous. It was a big deal for me to come here to Sacramento, and I just wanted to be up there, and I get a little over anxious. So we make mistakes. I make mistakes, and it was my own fault.
And you hit a pole, is that correct?
Yeah, I tried to give a pole a kiss.
Well, after Michael did try to give that pole a kiss, Peloton headed into those three circuits, and it was a fast sprint. I watched the speedometer go from 20 miles an hour on up to 40 miles an hour really fast. Now imagine this. You've just ridden your bike 110 miles up some very difficult climbs with some very tough competition, moving quickly. Now you're supposed to put on the gas. Now you're supposed to really come alive and move your body when your body is screaming that it doesn't want to. Well, at the end of the sprint, of course, it came down to a very tight finish. And at the end of the day, the winner of the stage was Argentina's Juan José Hayato from Team CSC. Second place went to Luca Paolini. Third from Credit Agricole's Tor Hushovd. Fourth place from Discovery, Alan Davis. And in fifth, T-Mobile's Gerald Ciolek. J.J. Hayato had a chance to speak with the press after the race and describe for us what that finish was like.
I was in Stuart O'Grady.
Stuart O'Grady?
Yeah, he was probably were like 4th or 5th position coming into the last corner. When I saw the 300 meters sign, I told him to go, so probably he went from like 350 until like a little bit over 200 meters to go. And that's when I went, I probably made a gap in when I started sprint, and I was lucky to keep it.
Now, as you heard, JJ was led out into the sprint by Stuart O'Grady, a well-known cyclist in the peloton, and he was asked how it feels to have O'Grady on his team and helping him out in these sprints, and here's what he had to say.
Good thing he's in my size, so I don't have to sprint against him.
I think if I was in JJ's position, I'd feel the same way. Here's a great guy who can pull for you, and you don't have to race against him, so that's good news. Well, at the end of the day, it was time to put a golden jersey on someone up on the podium, and just like yesterday, today the golden jersey was placed on the body of Levi Leipheimer. Levi is still in first place in the general classification. Second place goes to Jason Donald. You'll remember that Jason had that blazingly fast time trial in the prologue on Sunday. In third place, Ben Jockmans. In fourth, Rory Sutherland. And in fifth, Hilton Clark. Well, after the race, Levi had a chance to talk to us about how the race went, give us a feeling of what it was like to be in the peloton as today's stage one wound up.
We left Santa Rosa. There was a few attacks. They went away pretty easily. I think everyone was a little bit cautious because of Trinity Grade. And Trinity Grade turned out to be quite a tough climb, actually. I think the race split up a little bit. I don't know. I was trying to stay in the front, so I didn't. But I'm only saying what I heard, that there were some riders who were dropped for a while. But it came back together, and then once we got through the twisty, turny, up and down part of Highway 128, and we came out into the valley, it was a lot of wind, a lot of cross tailwind, which is the worst. Really can ignite the race. But I've never been a part of a team that's as strong as Discovery Channel, and I was quite impressed with the way they handled the situation. They really dictated the pace, and I think that they knew it, when to slow down and to keep everyone calm, and when to speed up for our own benefit, and they did it perfectly.
Well, tomorrow, stage three, will take the riders from Stockton, California, on into San Jose, California, into Silicon Valley. Starts out fairly flat, and then somewhere around mile 30, the riders begin to climb the Patterson Pass. It's a Category 4 climb. Then they head on down into Livermore, California, for a time bonus. A few more little hills, and then they hit the hardest climb of the entire week, and that's Sierra Road. It's a Category 1 climb, and this comes at about mile number 72, so the riders are already going to be tired. Up and over Sierra Road, and then down on into Silicon Valley, and the stage ends at 94.6 miles, having traveled. Should be an exciting day, and perhaps a critical day, depending on how people do on those climbs. I think Discovery can expect one or two teams are going to try to attack them on each of those climbs. Should be interesting to see how the day goes, and I'll have another report for you tomorrow right here on the Fredcast. Meanwhile, today I had the good fortune of seeing the race from a perspective that very few race fans will ever get the chance to sit in. I had a chance to sit in Mavic 1 today. Now, let me explain. You may recall when I was at Interbike this year, I had a chance to interview some of the Mavic Neutral Technical Support guys who were there to make sure that everybody was safe and had everything that they needed while they were out on the demo track on their road bikes. These guys travel around from race to race in the United States and abroad, providing what's called neutral technical support on the race course. Now, as you well know, each of the teams have their own vehicles on the race course with their own team mechanics, spare wheels, even spare bikes, and clothing and everything else that the riders might need while they're out there on the course. Sometimes, however, the team car isn't in position to help their rider, and if the rider flats and needs to replace their wheel, the Mavic neutral technical support guys are there to help them out. And so they drive around in these yellow and black cars, huge Mavic signs all over them, and they've got bikes and wheels and parts and whatever a racer might need, and their goal is to help any racer from any team without favoring one team or racer over another. Therefore, they have a lot of vehicles out on the race course. Today there were three cars and three motorcycles. Each car has a driver, of course, and a mechanic, and each motorcycle has a driver and a mechanic. Even the motorcycles are carrying a plethora of wheels, front and rear, that are on racks on the bike, and the mechanic is also carrying wheels in his hand. Each mechanic is carrying two wheels. So when a crash happens or somebody flats out, if the team vehicle can't help them, the Mavic guys are there to do it. Now, Mavic 1 is really like the air traffic controller for the Mavic guys throughout the race. He's the one who makes sure that all of the vehicles are in the right position. He's the one that communicates with the race commissaires to make sure that the vehicles are where the commissaires want them. And for the majority of the race, The Mavic car is either behind commissaire number 1, which is directly behind the peloton, or behind commissaire number 3, which is about 6 or 7 cars back. This provided a unique and amazing perspective on the race. I saw things out there on the road that most people will not see. You won't see it on TV, and you won't see it by standing out on the side of the road. Examples. We all know, or at least many of us know, that, you know, when you're riding 100 miles, every once in a while, you are going to need food. And so I watched as the teams filled up the pockets and the jerseys and the arms and the bikes of the domestiques, making sure that their race leaders were well fed. I watched as the Musette bags were passed out to the riders in the feed zones and watched what a ballet that is. Of course, when nature called, I also saw that as well. And it's very interesting to me that when one person decides that nature's calling, several, perhaps dozens more, will also stop. And when that happens, the peloton slows down and waits for all of those riders to come back up. It was a very unique perspective to also see some of the guys that were in the breakaway for so long, pushing and pulling so hard to try to stay away from the peloton. And then when they finally got reabsorbed, to watch them drop off the back, trying to get to their team vehicles to get a little bit of relief, a little bit of liquid, and a little bit of nourishment. Also to watch the guys in the agony of crashing, guys like Michael Sayers, and to be able to be there with the Mavic guys as they helped put his bike back together and get him back out on the road. It was a really amazing day. I would describe it only as an e-ticket, and I've got to thank the Mavic guys for allowing me that opportunity. As you can imagine, it gets crazy out there. These team vehicles, remember, this is not just a race, this is a business as well. These are professionals, and these team vehicles will do everything that's necessary to support their teams. And it's a battle. I described it yesterday as a dance. Today, I think I'd almost in some ways describe it as a battle. Because we were in technical support, when we supported the Quickstep rider who went down on those switchbacky hills, we needed to catch back up to the peloton. And I'm telling you, this was Mr. Toad's wild ride as we screamed, legally by the way, screamed down this hill to catch back up to the peloton and all the way back up to commissaire number 1, which is directly behind the peloton. It was an exciting day. And while I was out there, when we had a few moments of calm, and there were only a few of them, I had a chance to interview my driver. And here's what my driver had to say. I'm riding in Mavic 1 today with Mark and Jeff, the mechanics from Mavic, doing neutral technical support for the race. Tell me a little bit about what your job is here today.
Mavic's job today is we provide neutral support, which means we'll support any rider. And there are situations in the race where the team car can't get to the racer. So we'll stop and change their flat, change the bike, get them on their way so they can continue with the race. So
today we've had a couple of wheel changes. People have seen you do this before. What happens when you get back to the pits? How does that get handled with the teams?
At the end of the race, all the teams want their wheels back. So what we do is we either stack them by the cars or we go find the team and just trade back. So we always get our wheels back, which is kind of nice. It's a pretty good system. We write down their rider number. And the team, if we can get it, and then at the end we'll go find the team bus and change back our wheel.
And how'd you get started doing neutral technical support with Mavic?
I started kind of out as a shop mechanic, and then doing volunteer work at the races. I volunteered with Mavic about 5-6 years ago at a race in Redlands, California, and have continued ever since, and got hired about a little over a year ago.
And you were telling me a little bit about how you became educated as a mechanic. Tell me again about that.
Actually, where I was living at the time, I couldn't find a good bike mechanic in the town I was living in, and I had gotten a new bike and took it in for service, and it came back worse than I took it in. And after a few of those experiences, I decided to work on my own bike, which initially was a lot more expensive than actually taking the bike in to get service. But in the long run, I kind of got a career out of it. But through that, I learned how to work on my own bike, and then I decided I would go to school. I went to the bike schools in the country and took seminars and classes, as much knowledge as I could get, and so I got much better at being a bike mechanic, and I didn't break so many parts or so many tools, and that's how I started out.
Oh, what the... Go, go, go. I don't know what that was.
Now, being in the race caravan is pretty exciting. I don't think most fans who watch it on TV, or even if they stand by the side of the road, really understand all the nuances and things that go on back here in this whole dance that you call the caravan. Maybe you could describe some of the things that you see every single day that the regular fan... That's all right. Hold on one second. So maybe you could describe some of the things that you see back here that the regular fan wouldn't necessarily notice on TV.
There's a lot of things that happen in the caravan. Essentially, there's an order to the team cars and all of the officials. You have the first official behind the peloton. You have other officials inside the caravan that kind of help organize things. And when a rider needs his team car, he'll get called up, and they're sent forward. So there's kind of a lot of jockeying that goes around with the cars. There's a lot of coming and going up through the caravan with cars and motorcycles and photographers, and then there's riders that got service that are moving back into the caravan, and so it's kind of chaotic. As like right now, we've got riders coming back in from service, and guys going up to get fed, and everybody trying to find their place back in the caravan. And every time something happens, everybody's got to reorder and find their spot. So it's a constantly moving thing. Hang on. So yeah, like right now I'm changing back and trying to find my spot after getting aced out, and so back in my spot. There are cars that just go up for a look, or guys get go up that they can't hear the radio or something. So it's constantly changing. There's constantly stuff going on, and sometimes there's guys that get cut off, and there's some tempers that get hot, and you know, it's a lot of stuff going on all the time.
Okay, so you've probably seen some of these guys with their tempers getting hot. Tell me the best story that you can remember.
There's been a few. One of the best stories actually was two cyclists, and it was at Sea Otter one year. It was a Masters race, and these guys are coming around this corner, and they're yelling at each other, they're screaming at each other, and they're throwing fists at each other, like just duking it out and talking about how one guy cut the other guy off. Meanwhile, while this is going on, the guys around them were like, oh, they're busy, let's go. And they took off, and these guys, because they're fighting, totally missed out on an opportunity to essentially win the race. But in the caravan, even just yesterday, one guy probably cut another guy off, one team car and another team car off. And then so all day it was, these guys were trying to get under each other's skin. So one guy would go off and they'd be flipping each other off, you know, the not so good sign, and swearing at each other and stuff like that. And so all day it was like they were trying to pick on each other, and they were trying to, like, one was trying to get in front of the other guy all day, you know. And they were doing their riders no good, you know. It was, from my point of view, it was fairly comical.
What's the worst thing that you've seen where you've had to service somebody? What's the worst situation that you've run into?
Worst situation is CPR and calling an ambulance. And we don't, or flight for life, we don't like to see that too often. But mechanical, I've seen head tube separation, where the whole front of the bike is not with the back half of the bike. That's not much you can do about that. I've seen crank arms come off. I've seen chainstays separate, seat posts break. Quite a lot of stuff. But with some of that, we've given guys bikes and gotten them back in the race. And you see your yellow bike go by, and it's like, wow, they're actually in it. I would have gotten in the car and gone home.
So now, in addition to your mechanic training, do you have any driving training? Because it gets pretty hairy out there.
it does get pretty hairy out there, and I didn't have any driving training specifically for this, but when I was a younger individual, I had taken some professional driving courses and police driving courses back in Chicago, and learned defensive driving and kind of learned how to operate the car at higher speeds. And I also used to race small-time racing motorcycles 20-some years ago. So I've had a little more experience than the average guy.
Okay, so speaking of motorcycles, I know you've ridden the motor before, and we've been riding with several motors today, and you guys play a game when you're on the bikes, and I think that people will be really interested in that. Tell me what it is that you do.
The game is, after the riders go through the feed zone, all the riders get this, they get a musette bag, a bag full of food. And once they've done stuffing their pockets, they toss the bag to the side of the road. And the trick for the moto guy is to pick up the bag with his feet. And then that's called snagging it. And then to actually capture it, you actually have to pull it off your foot and stuff it in your jacket. And the record for snags is 4, which we all have 4 now. And then the record for captures is 3, seems to be the most anybody can actually get. And so that's kind of the game, and if you're really picky, you have to, the guy in car one tells him which bag he wants. So it's a fun game, but we only do it when it's calm and there's nothing going on. If it's kind of chaotic or whatever, we bag the game and pay attention to work.
Today wasn't a great day. You only got 2.
We only got 2. There are days when we come home with like 8-10 bags, but this race has been a lot of business at this race, a lot of wheel changes. So, you know, focus more on the job at hand, and maybe later on in the week it'll calm down, and the racers won't be so punchy, and they'll just race and things will go smooth.
Now we're about to go through a town. There's a ton of spectators here, and this is your second year doing this race. How does this year compare to last, and how does it compare to other races that you've done around the world?
No offense to anybody or any other race around the world, nothing really compares to the Tour de France. But in this country, I would have to say I've seen more people here than really at any other race, except for the San Francisco Grand Prix, which they should bring back. But there's a lot of people out here, and it's really nice to see. It's really good to see all those people.
Okay, so tell me about how you handled that crash that was at the finish line yesterday.
So the crash, the big pileup in the circuit, all the guys went down, both our motos came up, and we came up, assessed the situation, started putting wheels on bikes, and then we knew that a group of guys had gotten down, downway. So one of the guys off the moto, one of the mechanics, started making a hole, started you know, moving bikes and stuff, and made a small enough hole that the motos could fit through, and I sent those guys up the road while our guys with the cars finished up at the crash. And then when there was a hole big enough for me to get through, I went through, and the third Mavic car kind of finished up with the crash, and then we started trying to figure out where the race was. It was pretty chaotic. Even the comm at first didn't know what the head of the race was because it was so scattered and shattered and strung out. It was hard catching back on.
So in a situation like that, because you're right there, you're on the scene, the team cars aren't going to wait because they want their guys to be able to finish and finish as high up in the rankings as possible. So they want you there to take care of their riders?
Absolutely. They're back in the caravan and they can't get to the riders. And that's actually why we're here. We're neutral. We'll help anybody. So they kind of, in that situation, we're dependent upon to get the bike back functioning, or get them a new bike, or get them on the bike so that they can finish the race and make the time cut.
Mark, thanks for the ride, and thanks for the interview.
Oh, you're welcome, and I hope I didn't scare you too bad on the hilly descents and stuff like that. Happy to have you here.
And for the record, I barely hung on. Well, and that was my day today in Stage 2 of the Amgen Tour of California. Thanks again to everyone at Mavic for giving me that seat in Shotgun in Mavic 1. It was a heck of a ride and a great experience. I want to say thanks again to those folks. Several of you have emailed me and told me how much you really enjoyed the pictures I took yesterday. I'll be posting more up to the website a few minutes after I post the podcast up online. Today's pictures, not quite as good as yesterday's. There may be one or two in there that were good, but yesterday's pictures were spectacular. Hopefully in the next couple of days, I'll be able to get a couple of more. I really do hope that you're enjoying the tour of California coverage here on the Fredcast. I'll be back again tomorrow with yet another show. If you'd like to send me an email, please do so. The email address is thefredcast@gmail.com. Of course, you can send an audio comment anytime you like to the Fredcast listener hotline at area code 206-203-FRED. And again, to check out those pictures, head straight to the website, www.thefredcast.com. Well, it's time for me to go to sleep so I can get up bright and early, transfer from Sacramento over to Stockton for stage 3. That's going to do it for me for this evening. I hope that you have a good evening. I hope that you're enjoying the podcast, but most of all, enjoy the ride.